Kadosh. Remember, remember, Adonai Eloheinu.
Welcome to Romamu, an open-hearted Jewish community and house of worship, learning, and spiritual growth. You're listening to Romamu's podcast, where we share words of Torah, insights, and inspiration from Romamu clergy. Thank you for being with us.
It's a fascinating moment in this week's Torah portion that I think catches me every year without a doubt, or whenever I read it, I think it jumps off the page. And it's the moment, it's very emotional, when Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, our teacher, remembers that he had made a promise and he had to keep the promise. And even as the Israelites were about to leave, he had to keep that promise. And they were waiting to leave. And they finally, after the final plague, the 10th plague, they're banished from the land. Hurry up, get out. And the Torah says that Moshe remembered that he had made a promise and that he had made an oath, really, an oath. He swore an oath. The oath was to Joseph. Of course, he hadn't it wasn't Moses himself, but an oath had been made that Joseph had made his brothers swear that even though he was buried in Egypt, that when time came for them to leave Egypt, they wouldn't forget him. And that Joseph's bones would be excavated, they would be exhumed, and he would be brought to the land of Israel. Vayikach Moshe et asmos Yosef, and Moses took the bones of Joseph. It's an arresting image. It's a profound image. In its simplicity also is its profundity. It's the promise to not leave someone behind. That Joseph knew that his place was not in Egypt, but with his family. And not only was the rapprochement between Joseph and his brothers an absolutely necessary component of the Genesis narrative, right? Joseph had to repair with his brothers. He had to be taken back into the brothers. Joseph said that wouldn't be sufficient, because if you leave me here in Egypt, after I'm no longer around, I would still be in exile. I would still not be a part of, but apart from. And so we can imagine, like, there's so many Excalibur and other kind of midrashim about how the bones of Joseph were discovered and so on, and Sarach, about Asher, all these kinds of things. This image is just a provocative image, because Joseph was really the first exilic Jew. Joseph was really the first Jew to live in diaspora, meaning completely cut off and having to make his way. Of course, we don't think about it that way. The Jewish people weren't yet a people at that moment. It was still a family. We think of it in the family narrative. You know, Joseph was thrown into a pit and he's no longer with his brothers. But of course, it becomes a symbol for all time, for all of us as Jews who were in some way in exile from our land, having been dispersed, not having our home. And the experience of Joseph in Jewish literature becomes indicative. It becomes a part of how we are to understand our own exilic experience as Jews in the diaspora, Jews who are living apart from their land. One particular Hasidic Rebbe from the lineage known as Ishbitz, Yaakov Lehner, Yaakov Ishbitzer, spends 4 or 5 pages on this one phrase alone. And I told friends as I was reading them, learning them today, I couldn't stop. Each one was more beautiful than the next one, more profound. And I wanted to share just one little shtick, a little piece from it. It's really moved me. Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Haynu shelo yachshivu Yisrael ki geulas Mitzrayim hu haketz v'asof lechol yeshuos. He says this meaning. He says the meaning for us is that the children of Israel should remember. They shouldn't think that the Egyptian redemption, the redemption from Egypt, was the end of all of the redemptions. There would be a need in the future for future redemptions. Lachin. Moses takes the bones of Joseph as a recognition that Moses is teaching us that if we act like Joseph, as Joseph behaved in his own coming to terms with and his own reconciliation with and his own successful navigation of his exile, that we too, in future moments when we are in exile, we will also merit a Yeshua, a redemption or a salvation like this one. To read the taking of Joseph's bones as a profound lesson, that Joseph becomes an archetype for how we are to navigate. So let's look at that for a moment. How did Joseph navigate? On one level, he certainly, in the beginning of his career, wasn't exactly the most, he didn't exactly honor his Jewish or his, let's say, Hebrew heritage. He was quite angry. He took a new name, or was given a name, Safnat Paneach. He took a wife. But then he named his 2 children Hebrew names. He received the Egyptian name. He, like, you know, he went from being, I don't know, let's think of Tony Curtis or something, you know, from Tony Schwartz, to, like, now he's Tony Curtis or whatever. But he names his 2 children Jewish names, Menashe and Ephraim. Menashe, ki nashani, got God to help me to forget my father's house. Really? He's struggling. And then he says, Ki Ifrani, Ephraim becomes that even in the place of exile and isolation, I was still able to succeed with all the odds against me. And then we see Joseph, who the rabbis begin to read Joseph's actions as externally he was of the culture, but internally he was honest to who he was. And then by the end of his life, Joseph is able to reconcile, forgiving, and a willingness to see his trials and tribulations as lessons for himself and for others, and themselves part of God's bigger plan. So the Ishmaelites are saying that Moses took Joseph's bones to tell us, you know what these bones represent? People who can be true to themselves, even in situations where everything is calling them to hide it. That if we want to see redemption, if we want to see salvation, it will never come by hiding who we really are. It can never come at the cost of our truth individually and collectively. We have to be who we are. Whether who you are is gay or lesbian or trans, or whether who you are is, you know, someone who doesn't believe in God, but you come to shul and God forbid, no one in this shul would ever say to you, listen, you're an atheist, get the heck out of here. And if you're a proud Jew, be a proud Jew, and you should be a proud Jew. If you love Israel, you should come here and say, I love Israel, and it's safe. That our Yeshua is dependent to some degree on learning about the essence of Joseph. And I'll say the last thing that he, I think, alludes to here also, which is, and I think maybe Joseph, you know, I wish I could have a conversation with him, maybe we should one day. But what I think also is maybe the most relevant and salient point here, because he's saying Joseph becomes the archetype for how to navigate the future darknesses that are sure to come, is that Joseph somehow was able to maintain some emunah, some faith, some trust in moments that seemed completely bleak and dark. He was in a pit. He must have been wondering, how did I get here? You may ask yourself, how did I get here? And the days go by and he's sitting and he's thinking, where, how am I? I was a prince and now what? And on some level, I don't mean this to be Pollyannish and to be, you know, a Hollywood ending. Everything is always going to be okay. God forbid. We know that's not the case. There was something about Joseph being able to maintain faith in a world where he could not see an end to his pain and suffering. And I think that the Ishmaelites is alluding to that. Rabbi Kohler Esses spoke so beautifully last week, a very short dvar that she said, but it really touched my heart. I've been carrying it with me for the last 2 weeks. Rabbi Kohler Esses spoke from the Bima, and she said that when Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moses, our teacher, came to the Jewish people to tell them about what later became the Haggadah, the story that we tell every Passover, the Haggadah, that Moshe came and gave them a commandment and said to them, when you leave here one day, and Rabbi Kohler Esses said, and asked the question that, of course, is the well-known question, Moshe, they're still slaves. You're giving them the commandment to tell about a story of liberation in many years from now? And so she said, yeah, it was a preemptive, that itself gave them faith. He said, one day you'll tell this story. One day you'll tell this story. It'll be a part of your novel. It'll be a part of your movie. It'll be a chapter in your book. And I call this the preemptive redemptive. This preemptive redemptive, where we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we know right now that we're going to see it, and we hold steadfastly to it. When they read about the great Russian Jewish refusenik, Natan Sharansky, in his book, Fear No Evil, he was in the gulag for 13 years. They say, this brilliant man, what did he do? What did he do daily to give him a moon of faith that he would one day be a free man? He said he kept thinking about what it's going to be like. He told himself the story that he'll tell one day. One day I'm going to tell the story. They want to break me, but they won't break me. I have the bones of Joseph with me. I have the bones of Joseph with me. I swore I will never leave Egypt. Not I won't leave Egypt without the bones of Joseph. There's no way to leave Egypt without taking the bones of Joseph with you, because you won't ever leave other Egypts without those bones. It's the same as Martin Luther King imagining a day in the future when little black boys and little white girls, everybody will be able to be together and be judged not by the color of their skin, but the content of their character. He had a dream. He had a dream. He told the story of what it would be like one day. And Joseph, I'm sure when he was in those dark places, told himself that story. I think that Ephraim and Menashe were part of that story. God helped me to forget, but God also is helping me to be full. Ephrani, he knew that lesson. It was in his kishkas, it was in his bones. And I think that's really the essence of Tu B'Shvat. Why do we celebrate trees on the 15th day of the month of Shvat? Celebrating trees, we're celebrating the fruit of the trees. But the fruit of the trees won't be ripe until much later on. We won't eat them. We should celebrate them by eating them. Fruits don't want us to dance with them. They want us to eat them. And so the rabbis say that the beginning of when the sap rises in the trees is what we're really celebrating. The bones of Joseph. The sensitivity and the intuition of what would one day become full-fledged redemption. Let's celebrate that and dream of that fruit. And dream of the day when we're free. Dream of the day when this war is over. Dream of the day when all of us will be able to be together as friends and not enemies. Dream of the day together. Because we can get so bogged down, so lost in the darkness, we can't feel our way through the light. And Joseph says, I know I was also dark, but I I imagined it. I kept it in my mind's eye. And the Ishbitzer says, that's the way. There'll be great Yeshuot, bigger even than Egypt, he says, as long as we maintain a connection to these bones. So I just want to end by saying, I feel really touched by that vision. And call out to Marla, Micha Mucha, all of my bones want to say, I don't know. And I don't know how we're going to make it there, but I'm dreaming of it. I'm dreaming of that time soon when our boys won't have to go to war, when our young boys and young women won't have to be on guard against those who hate us. I refuse to give in to anything less than the dream and the vision of a day that will be soon, or we will celebrate together not only the full-fledged redemption, but its insipid beginnings. May the sap rise strongly in all of our bones, and may we be connected to the essence of that first exilic Jew known as Yosef.
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romamu.org to learn more about us. Please consider making a contribution to Romamu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romamu, Romamu, Adonai.